Welcome back in the Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode from The Athletic taking you through this Monday morning. And it's that time of the week we bring in our good friend Darren McFarland from Darren, Donick, and Chase, presented by Craneworks. Craneworks serving the Southeast for more than 30 years. Visit craneworks.com. D-Mac, what's going on, my man?
Robbie, good morning. What's going on?
Not a whole lot. I think my wife's getting tired of me. I've been around the house a lot more than normal. I think she's about ready to kick me out, but there's really nowhere she can kick me out to. So that's basically what's going on right now. What have you been doing over the course of this past week?
Bad sign, my man. It's not going to end anytime soon. It's a bad sign. I'm now officially concerned for you and your brand new family. I really am.
Good, you should be.
You got to do some domestic distancing. We were doing social distancing. You need some domestic distancing.
I'm going to put that in practice.
I'm concerned about myself because my life has turned into Tiger King. And I don't even know what to say that I spent the weekend watching Tiger King. And I will self-admit, I never even had heard of any of this. I didn't know about Tiger Sanctuary. I didn't know about Carol Baskin. I didn't know about Joe Exotic. That's how we're, at least I'm not going to lump you guys or everybody else into my world, my little sports bubble. That I didn't even know any of this existed. I had never heard of any of it until I watched it all weekend. So sad, but true.
It is very sad. I mean, maybe, you know, when we get through this, I'm going to not watch TV for like 3 consecutive months. I'm just going to sit here and not touch a television again. Darren, we were talking in the last segment about some of the best NCAA tournament runs we've seen by a player. Like Kemba Walker comes to mind in 2011, you know, Christian Laettner with Duke, Anthony Davis. Like there's a whole bunch of different options you could have. Carmelo Anthony. If I were to ask you, like, what's the greatest NCAA tournament performance by a player that you remember seeing? What would your answer be?
Ooh, boy, you put me on the spot there. Honestly, the first thing I thought of, that it wasn't the NCAA tournament. It was at the time the Big East tournament, and I'm going to be fuzzy. I want to make sure I've got the name. Was it Jerry McNamara?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good call. Yeah. That's a good call.
That just went absolutely nuts. And I think Syracuse had to win like 5 games to win the Big East tournament, and they did. And he went absolutely nuts. But just to bring it here home, who was our favorite guy at Ole Miss? The crazy guard that
Marshall Henderson. Yeah.
Marshall Henderson.
Yeah.
Who went nuts here, and remember, literally went nuts here, and was told, like, behind the scenes, like, calm it down. Didn't he jump on, like, the scores desk and was going crazy after a win?
He was insane.
Here, yeah, I mean, he was nuts. But I'll tell you what, whatever you say, what you want about Marshall Henderson, he got people to watch. He got people to pay attention to college basketball, and he was a pretty darn good player. He was crazy. But he was a good player, and we paid attention to what he was doing at all times. So, man, in the NCAA tournament, I'm trying to think of who just went on. I mean, I watched live the Tyus Edney, you know, runner down the right side to keep UCLA alive, and they went on to – didn't they go on to win the title?
That
Bannum brothers,
that
right?
Was 95, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, they beat Missouri on that runner. I mean, they would have been out in the Sweet 16. They went on to win it all, but that's not really answering your question. That was just a shot. I don't know. I'm trying. Who did you guys say? Help jumpstart me. Who were some names you threw out?
It was hard for me to get away from Kemba. Like the run that Kemba Walker put together in 2011 with UConn, that was awesome. I mean, Carmelo Anthony is in there as well with his run in Syracuse. I mean, you can go back with Magic Johnson, and I mean, there's a whole bunch of different names. Bill Walton, who I think averaged, you know, he had like 44 points in the championship game. But to me, it was just, and maybe it's recency bias, but Kemba Walker in 2011, that was, I think, the greatest individual performance that I've seen in terms of the longevity. You know, the Big East tournament, he basically carries the team through that. And then, of course, they win the national championship with him as well. So my answer was Kemba Walker in 2011.
Well, I will tell you guys this, and I'm sure Joe remembers because I'm sure he covered, you know, or saw this team up close and personal too. But I'll never forget, this would have been, what was this, the 06 team? My previous stop, they sent me to Phoenix to that regional. And this was when I was an afternoon drive. And I remember sitting courtside. In fact, I was sitting next to Michael Wilbon. and Vanderbilt came out. This is the Kevin Sullings Vanderbilt team, the team that had the big win down in Orlando over NC State to punch their ticket into the Sweet 16. And when I saw Connecticut come out courtside, I was sitting courtside, and when I saw them up close and personal, I called Willie Donick, who I was working with at the time, and I called George Plaster, who I was working with at the time, two Vanderbilt grads, and I said, I don't mean to be the bearer of bad news. This is going to be a long night for Vanderbilt. This Connecticut team, holy crap, that was like Villanueva, Ben Gordon. I mean,
Emeka Okafor, yeah.
Okafor, yeah. And that team up close, courtside. I mean, I just was reaching for my phone going, oh, my goodness. And, of course, they went on to win it all. They were quite the machine. That was an impressive team. I knew right away that night, I was like, well, that's the team I hope I picked them in my bracket. I don't remember if I did, but I'm thinking, if I have them in my bracket, I'm going to win because that team's going to win the national championship. That was one of the more impressive teams I'd ever seen up close and personal.
Yeah, Connecticut gets it done when they get deep. Well, the other guy we were talking about before, but Shabazz Napier, he's going to get forgotten because his NBA career was very disappointing. But he carried 2014 Connecticut not quite as impressively as Kemba did 3 years earlier, but awfully good. Also, guys, I think of one we forgot to mention, you know, Danny Manning in 88. That was a very average Kansas team, if people remember, and you know, they went to the Final Four, and it was Duke, Zona, Oklahoma, and they end up winning that. I think it was Manning and the Miracles. So there's one of the, I think, best individual carrying a team. And Glenn Rice, Michigan, yeah. 31 points a game for a team that had just lost its head coach, Bill Frieder, to Arizona State. That was an all-time run. I mean, the Leitner runs, obviously. Like, you think of UNLV, you think of Larry Johnson, but, of course, they were just so loaded otherwise. But I'm surprised, D-Mac, I mean, I figured you'd come with a long line of, you know, like Kentucky guys. I mean, there's definitely some people to choose from.
The problem is you have to go back because we know the situation now. It's like, you know, guys that just, you know, Anthony Davis, I mean, they won a national championship. I mean, I don't really remember. Nothing was, like, memorable. I mean, Jack Deuce Givens, I don't really remember.
There you go.
You know, he had 45 points in the national championship game against Duke, but that was 78. I was very young, so it's not like I really remember it.
Against,
I
mean, Duke and Mike Jeminski, by the way. Now we're going back.
Yeah, back in the 78, right?
Yeah.
78. You know, I unfortunately, on the other end of things, I remember very well the 97 Arizona team that beat Kentucky in the national championship game. Miles Simon and Bibby were ridiculous. And those, I mean, they were awesome for that Arizona team. And that Arizona team, of course, beat them in the national championship game, and those two jerks were really good. So, jerks, not literally. I just when I think of that game, I call them jerks because they were just that good. But, yeah, it's interesting. You know, it just stinks because we should legitimately be sitting here talking about who's in the Final Four. And I really felt like this year gave us the opportunity to have, you know, George Mason of VCU, one of those type of teams like Dayton or whoever you've identified as. Well, who knows? I mean, I think this year literally it could have been ETSU. I mean, Steve Forbes, that team was good. I'm telling you right now, I was going to pick them for an upset. Whoever they played, I was going to pick them because I just thought that team was really good. I thought they could get on a run and at least win a couple games in the tournament. I mean, who knows? Belmont could have done. I mean, I just thought this was the year that we could have really been sitting here talking about, can you believe the Cinderella story has actually happened? I know it just happened a couple of years ago with Sister Jean and Loyola. I mean, I just thought if it could happen in those type of years, there's no doubt it could have happened this year, and we don't get to see it. So we'll just talk about it and dream about it, but we'll never know if it really could have happened. Or who knows, maybe a couple Cinderella teams could have been in the Final Four.
We will appreciate I was just going to say, well, we will appreciate this tournament a year from now. I promise you guys that.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, there's no question about that. Darren, last thing for you here. Obviously, we've seen a bunch of NHL players come out and start talking about, you know, how they would resume, whether they'd go back to a regular season game or whether they'd go straight into the playoffs. And it's been amazing to watch the teams that are in the playoffs. Those players have no problem going into the playoffs, right? And the teams that are not in the playoffs right now, those players, you know what? They'd like to see some more regular season games take place. It's been amazing to watch that unfold. But, Darren, obviously we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know when the NHL is going to return. When and if they do return, would you rather go straight into the playoffs? Would you rather there be some sort of abbreviated regular season? Would you rather extend the playoffs? Like, how would you best approach that if you were making the decisions?
Well, if you're asking me, I would want them to play everything. But, I mean, I'm just trying to be realistic, Robbie. I mean, to me, this whole thing about coming back and playing finishing off a regular season is just fantasy land. I mean, I said this weeks ago, over 2 weeks ago on the show. Actually, it would have been 2 weeks ago today. I said, look, we're at the beginning of this, and it pains me to say this, but once we stabilize this and we get through this and everything gets calm and gets back to normalcy, we're going to have to go through this again until we get a vaccine. Like, football has to be aware that they're not safe. Nothing is safe the rest of the year until we get a vaccine. And now, look, what you're already seeing, a bunch of football coaches that are concerned. There are already stuff out there of, hey, should the football season be July, August, September, before the cold, you know, season gets here? I mean, they're already thinking like that. And just to think that, you know, the NBA or NHL is going to come back and play some type of regular season at when? In 2.5 months or whatever it is? I just don't see it. I don't even know how that could even be really even in the cards. Do I want it to be in the cards? Of course. Selfishly, I want everything to come back and resume right where it was. We need as much sports as possible, especially for teams in this market. But the more this has been gone, and I felt this way from really nothing's even changed. I don't even know how anything is going to be able to come back. We're just not even close to coming back. I mean, not even close. And so it's a chicken bleep answer, but I would want everything to come back and resume anyway. Look, at this point, we would take anything. But I just think these windows, man, they're all closing. I mean, it's going to be extremely difficult to come back and try to put together anything if you didn't get it finished. Who knows when baseball is going to start up and how long can they go? I mean, they're talking about coming back and then maybe, does baseball really think they're going to be able to play into November? I mean, everybody's going to face the same problems once we get back to cold weather again. And it stinks. It's like I said, it sucks to say it out loud, but I don't know how they're going to pull all this off. I don't know how this is going to play out. I hope that I'm wrong, and I hope everybody else is wrong, and this is all going to be over with, and by June, everything's cranked up, and away we go for the rest of 2020. I don't believe that's going to be the case, but I sure am hoping for it.
Well said. Darren McFarland from Darren, Donick, and Chase has been our guest here on Morning Drive. Darren, thanks so much, as always, for joining us, my friend. We appreciate it.
All right, Robbie, Joe, have a great rest of your day.
See you, bud.
You too. When we come back, we'll get into a little bit of that talk around the NHL. They've had players come out and speak about what their approach would be to resuming the season if they're able to do that at some point down the line here in 2020. We'll get into that next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad taking you through this Monday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. And Joe, NHL players have come out and spoken about, you know, ways to resume the season, if it's able to be resumed at some point, whether or not they'd like to go straight into the playoffs, how they would approach it. And it's been interesting to watch kind of the different responses that have been out there. Players like Crosby and Ovechkin have spoken, Connor McDavid as well, some of your bigger name players. I think the Central Division is speaking tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken. So we'll see what happens as this week continues to unfold. But here were some NHL players having a discussion about what all is going on right now with the coronavirus, what they've been up to in the offseason, and what they would, or not the offseason, the pause, but and what they would do in terms of resuming play when and if the NHL is able to return. Here's what they had to say.
You know, to make it completely fair, you'd want to play regular season games and have more games know, to get in. And but if we're going to start playoffs right away, then obviously, sorry, Gio, but you want to, I don't know if you guys would be in or not, but you're definitely by percentage, and I think that would put us in. But, you know, it's tough to make that call, that's for sure.
All right, Connor, what kind of playoffs should we have?
I think they look pretty good right now, but, you know, obviously, a fair season, and a fair season's a full season. So, you know, if we can do that, then that's what we'd obviously prefer. But I don't think we can just step into playoffs and you know, game one, you know, Calgary come to Edmonton and guys just run around, kill each other and haven't played a game in, you know, 2 months. I think, you know, it'll end up the Stockton Heat versus the Bakersfield Condors if that's the case. So, you know, we want to keep guys healthy you know, we want to make sure that everyone's get up and ready to play some playoff hockey. Like Gio said earlier, I think, you know, if we can get back to playing, I think it could be some of the best playoffs we've ever seen, where, you know, everyone's healthy, everyone's rested, and you know, it could be real exciting hockey.
Mark, what do you think? Edmonton, Calgary in a couple of weeks?
Yeah, you know what, I don't know. I've thought a lot about this. I think, like Bo said, you want it in a perfect world, you want to play the regular season out and let it play out. Whoever gets in gets in, but I don't think realistically we're going to have that time. So the best one I think I've heard is you can't eliminate teams who are out on points percentage or stuff like that. I think you go 12-12 and more teams get in this year, maybe a couple buys at the top and play it out. But yeah, I think it's going to be tough too, to just jump into a playoff game first game. So I don't know how they can work it out where we can almost get, even if we can get a couple in before that, it would be nice. But we'll see how long this lasts and how long it goes, right?
Oliver, I didn't think you needed to be called on when you said 12-12. I figured you jump right in, so go ahead.
I think it's only fair to start where we left off here. I think it would be good for the playoffs to get those games to really get going again and get into a playoff spot and be ready for a really good playoffs. I think that would benefit all of us. Like everybody else said, I think it would be a really good playoffs because we're getting a lot of rest and everybody is going to be healthy when we get back.
And just interesting comments there. You heard Mark Giordano from the Flames, Connor McDavid from the Edmonton Oilers, Bo Horvat from the Canucks, like a whole bunch of different opinions being thrown out there. Joe, you and I have talked a little bit about this here on the show. I mean, they can talk about, you know, the fair way to do it is playing a regular season games and then getting back into the playoffs. Like, I just don't anticipate any way to be able to make that work. I mean, especially if you take the NHL for what they've said and for their word that they don't want next season to really be all that affected, if possible. I just don't really anticipate a way, if you're the NHL, to play any regular season games when and if you're able to come back from this.
Right, because so what do? You try to even it up. And, yeah, I think it's going to have to be, as whoever said it in there, like 12-12 and byes, something like that.
Yeah, that's Mark Giordano, yeah.
Yeah, that was okay. So, you know, shortened series and all that stuff. And I kind of agree with Darren from the last segment. I mean, you talk about this stuff and more it sounds like fantasy. Also, though, I think that is kind of influenced just by how everything right now is just, you know, it's only been a couple weeks. And so we really are just about to start seeing the impact of the social distancing and everything. Like, there's so much we don't know. We know that for the next month it's going to be the same life. But, I mean, it could go well. You know, I mean, things could look different in a month or 6 weeks after that month happens and we are, you know, into May and it's like, okay, actually there's progress. Some things can return. We don't know for sure that's not going to happen. It just feels like it's impossible right now because right now we're still seeing everything rise. We are still seeing the impact of life before social distancing, before we had testing. When this really was starting to spread and we had not yet done the things that we're doing now that you have to do, you know, so I'm trying to keep an open mind, Robbie, on anything that might happen, but it does feel like fantasy to even talk about this stuff right now.
It does. And look, I would love to see, you know, Connor McDavid said there that, you know, a fair season is a full season. Well, I can pretty much guarantee you at this point that's not going to happen. Like, they're not going to come back and play 10 regular season games. Like, there's no way they're going to be able to make that work. So that part's out the window. I like kind of expanding the thought of maybe expanding the playoffs to 10 teams from each side, or I don't know if I'd be willing to go to 12. Like, at that point, you'd have, like, the Blackhawks making the playoffs and the Montreal making the playoffs on the East, and those two teams were not going to make the playoffs. Like, I don't have much interest in seeing that happen. Now, if you're the TV networks and you're NBC, you probably got a ton of interest in Chicago making the playoffs, a ton of interest in Montreal making the playoffs. So maybe that factors into it as well. But I'd probably be willing, if I'm the NHL, to maybe go to 10 teams in each side and just kind of seeing how it works from there. Maybe a couple teams get a bye as well. Like, I think you could get creative with it. So it'll be interesting to see what the NHL decides to do if they're able to come back. Hopefully, for the sake of this discussion, they're able to have to make this decision at some point, because that would mean there's at least a chance that we can come back and see NHL hockey for this season at some point in the 2020 calendar year. Joe, I know there's something you want to get to. There's an article that's come out basically talking about the possibility of moving college football season up to July and running it through basically the end of September to capitalize on the warm weather months. And Darren McFarland brought that up in the last segment as well. What have been your thoughts on this that you've seen this come out over the weekend?
Yeah, it's a really weird story. Sports Business Journal, Michael Smith, that do really good work, and had, you know, sources talking about this, you know, idea of moving college football up to the summer, when the warm weather could prevent the spread of the virus. So, little making the sausage thing here. I mean, at The Athletic, you know, obviously we have a lot of people who cover college athletics. We got people like Bruce Feldman and Andy Staples, a lot of people who have a lot of sources, Nicole Auerbach. And so when this came out, it was like, whoa, you know, what is this? And a lot of people did a lot of checking, and it's like coming back all from everyone like, are you kidding me? There is zero chance this happens. So I'm thinking this may be like TV source or sources here with some wishful thinking, but there is no way. Like, you serious? Like, we're talking about college football, pro football, possibly being impacted, pushed back, postponed, whatever it is. I mean, Kirk Herbstreit had this strong statement that late last week. He'd be shocked if college football happens. And again, what my response to that is, we don't know right now where it's going. We don't know. So I thought that was a little strong, but the idea of moving this up, it's weird. And I mean, I'm pretty confident right now in saying that there's no one who's a player in college athletics who's seriously thinking about this. I mean, it really doesn't make much sense. I mean, right now it's about getting to where, you know, to where we're in a better place, and hopefully getting to where football can start on time.
Yeah, and we mentioned last week, like, the concept of playing college football games with no fans in the stands, and how for most programs, like, that's not going to be something that they want to do. That's not going to even be feasible for some of these programs who rely so much on their gate to help them make money. I just can't I can't see, you know, starting a season in July where you can pretty much, at this point, it'd be tough to imagine fans being able to be there when that happens. Like, I just can't see that happening.
Yeah, another interesting thing on the baseball, you know, the agreement that, you know, they won't play without fans, which to me, I get, but also, that could really impact what that total number is of whatever kind of season they can put together, because, you know, there is the possibility with a lot of things being done, a lot of testing and a lot of logistics to have some kind of sporting events without crowds, but apparently not happen in baseball.
When we come back, we're doing an interesting thing today at ESPN 102.5 The Game, releasing a bracket about Nashville's best over the last 30 years. I want to get thoughts on that next. Who do we believe belongs in this bracket? How would we seed them? That's coming up next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad from The Athletic, Marquise Munson behind the glass. And boys, We're doing something really fun today at ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're coming out with basically a bracket that highlights the best athletes in Nashville during the past 30 years. And you can listen to Darren, Donick, and Chase today at 1 o'clock. To hear the bracket be unveiled, hear the seeding, all that officially happening today at 1 o'clock. And there are some regions here, Joe, that are really interesting. The regions are the Jeff Fisher region, Tim Corbin, David Poyle, and Phil Bredesen. So a lot of different regions going on here. But as we take a look and start to look at the best athletes that have been in our city over the course of the last 30 years, there's a lot to choose from. I mean, we've had two professional sports organizations come in full swing since then with the NFL and the NHL with the Titans and Predators. One new one that started this year in the MLS with Nashville SC. So a whole bunch of transformation in our city and in our area in the sports world in the last 30 years. And I start thinking to some of the names that immediately come to mind in terms of the best Nashville athletes. And, you know, we talked about, you know, the Hall of Fame you guys put together last week at the Athletic, Joe. Steve McNair being the first round pick. I think Adam Vingan put him Sports Hall of Fame piece that y'all did. Like, do we think Steve McNair should be like a one seed in this tournament? How would we evaluate kind of the best athletes in Nashville during this time?
Okay, first of all, let's make sure the ground rules are very clear here. So it's the last 30.
Let's establish. It's the 30 years.
It's the last 30 years, and it is athletes only.
Mm-hmm.
And it is college and pro or just pro?
College and pro.
It is college and pro. Okay, so that's an important distinction. And we're talking just Nashville, right? I mean, we're not talking – okay, so I just want to make sure. So are we talking MTSU? Are we talking Austin Peay? Are we talking – you know, like what's
Nashville
the,
athletes, Joe. You take that to your own interpretation, my
okay.
friend.
Yes. So, I mean, I would
include them.
I would include sure. those. Okay, okay. I mean, I would include those areas. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think – yeah.
But see, we're not doing Peyton Manning.
Right, so we're not doing balls. We're not doing balls. We're not doing Memphis.
Unless that Vols player is from Nashville. Here. Yes.
Yes. Exactly.
Yes. Yes.
Right. Like you know, for example, like John Henderson, a guy who was was on our Hall of Fame. I mean, you know, you get great players from here. I mean, a guy like my gosh, I'm bad with forgetting names. Great defensive end for the Vols a couple years ago with the Eagles now. Why
Derek
is this
Barnett.
Thank you. My gosh. Brentwood Academy, Derek
You're
Barnett.
Welcome.
There's one who comes to mind. But, yeah, I think McNair probably rates as a one seed, right? I mean, I think the Titans have a lot of great players. And then, you know, a lot of times with these things, just like with the ESPN NCAA thing, just like Seth Greenberg, he was starting to go off about all the recency bias going on with that
he
thing.
Was.
Like, no, Isaiah Thomas is insane, and you know.
But he did make a very solid point.
Oh
on
no,
all of those.
He was right.
He was right on all
this.
Oh,
I agreed with everything he said. But that's the thing. That's where something like this, like a Derrick Henry, you know, is probably going to get more love because he's now. Then, I mean, right now, Eddie George's career is far beyond what Derrick Henry's is, right? But that's where, you know,
sure.
I think people looking at this, a lot of times you'll see, you know, maybe you can probably do it with some Predators too. You know, I think Pecorino is probably a one seed in this thing, right? I would think so.
I would think so.
Okay, so let's do it this way. There's four regions, so obviously there's four one seeds. So, Joe.
Right.
Robbie, give away your one seeds. Like, who would you have as one seeds?
Okay, that's a good question. I mean, I would go Steve McNair as a one seed, and I am really torn between making him a one seed or making Eddie George a one seed because I think you could listen to pretty good arguments for both. I would go McNair. I would probably go Pecorine after that. Then, you know, you start thinking back, maybe, could you put two Titans players as one seeds? Like, could that be a thing?
Why not?
Yeah, why not? It's not, yeah. You could put.
And then I'm probably going McNair and Eddie George.
Okay.
As one seeds. I mean, I think those two, that's why I had such a hard time choosing between McNair and Eddie George because, you know, if you could put both of them as one seeds, I'm doing that. So those are three with McNair, George, and Pecorine. And then you start to think, like, maybe from a college aspect of it, like, you know, David Price is in there, Jay Cutler, his time at Vanderbilt. Like, where do they rank during all this as well? Like, it's a really good question. I don't know who my fourth one seed would be. Let me think about that for a minute. Joe, go ahead.
Well, yeah, David Price would be a one seed for me. I mean, you talk about what he did at Vanderbilt. Now, again,
really?
This is
one seed.
Well, yeah, and this is where we also need to establish. So we are including whatever they did wherever they did it. Is that right? So, for example, David Price from Murfreesboro played at Vanderbilt. Great achievement there. But obviously he's gone on to win the Cy Young and you know, be a dominant major league pitcher. Like, if we can count what they've done in total, then yeah, I think David Price is a pretty easy one seed. I think Mookie Betts is a guy who has got to be pushing for a one seed. And again, like, he's one of those guys that, like, 5 years from now, I don't think there'd be any question. You know, 5 years from now, if Mookie Betts, it'd probably be a slam dunk. Right now, you know, he's done a lot. Is it enough? You know, that's a tough one. I mean, you can look at, you know, think about Vanderbilt, like a Jay Cutler. You know, I'm not saying he wouldn't be a one seed for me, but he's a guy I think of prominently in something like this. But I think I would go Price. I think I would also go Eddie George and Steve McNair. And then I think Pecorine. I think those would be my 4-1 seeds.
So, okay, so let's break it down like this. So I think it's safe to say that Eddie George and Steve McNair are just for sure one seeds. Like, they're the undefeated college basketball team, and they're the easy one seed. Correct?
Yeah,
do we agree on that?
I think they're pretty.
Okay, and then also,
solid. Yeah.
Do we feel like there has to be a Preds player as a one seed?
No. I just think Pecorine would be my one for me.
So would it be between Pecorine and Shea Weber?
It wouldn't be between Pecorine and anybody for me. It's him.
It's Pecorine and just.
And then there's a gap. You may disagree, Robbie, and I know Shea Weber is an iconic player here, but I think Pecorine is easily the best player in franchise history.
I do, too. I would put Shea as probably a two seed. Like, I don't think if there's that far of a gap between Pecorine and Shea Weber, but certainly if I'm deciding which one would be a one seed, it would be Rene for sure.
Okay.
That fourth one is very interesting because, and
see,
you know,
see, the fourth one, I would go Mookie. And I'm just saying, just personally.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I don't know about yet.
I would go Mookie.
Is that because he's with the Dodgers now?
No, it's like, because he's, it's great, man. It's just because it's Mookie Betts. But I love David Price, though. I mean, everybody loves David Price, but, you know, it's Mookie Betts, man. It's marquee. Like it's sexy. It looks on the bracket. It's sexy. It's we have a one seed Mookie Betts. Everybody's watching at that point.
Well, no, people don't love David Price. Come on, man.
I mean, David Price. I'm just saying. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Lots of shade being thrown by lots.
He's a two seed.
See, I'm trying to think also in this time, because here and there you'll have, you know, in a 30-year span, you know, you'll have like a random great play. Okay, here's an example of someone who, you know, maybe you don't immediately think of because you don't think of him because he doesn't play for any of the national pro teams. He didn't play college here, but like Keenan Reynolds, okay? Like unbelievable high school player, you know, good passer. Then, you know, you're talking about a guy whose career at Navy was absolutely incredible. Like this is where you have to try to put that net out and think in terms of maybe some under the radar guys. You know, I think on this bracket, like Phil Hutchinson and John Pierce, the two top scorers in college basketball history for Lipscomb. And I know at least parts of their careers were within that 30-year span. I mean, both of them should absolutely be on this list.
And then, like, from a Preds point of view, like, I wonder how deep the discussion goes because I think, like, everybody believes that, like, you know, obviously Rene and Shea Weber belong in the discussion, but, like, how deep down the roster of Preds players in the history of their franchise do you go in the bracket? Because, like, you know, you're thinking about, you know, Mike –
I'll ask you this, Joe. If I had a choice to put PK Subban on this list, would you put PK in the bracket?
That's where I was going.
Okay, again, it's a 64 person bracket, right? It's 64.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, like we're doing the full. I think PK, it's hard to, I would think he'd get in there. I mean, you've got to really go through, and you got to make sure you're not, you know, you're going through your Vandy basketball players. You got a lot of Vandy baseball players. I mean, Dansby Swanson.
But PK, though, like PK did a lot for, I hate to bring up the Mariota thing, because I know people say this about Mariota. He's done a lot for the city. I'm pretty sure this is going to say the same thing about PK, but I mean, he did put a lot of national eyes on the team. So
no, I think
he's
got to
be somewhere on the list, right?
No, I think he would. But I'm just saying, like, as you go through, you got to make sure you go through the Vandy basketball players, the baseball players. You know, there's football guys. MTSU's had some great players. You know, you're going to end up with more names than you realize. But, yeah, I think PK Subban, for those 3 years, what he did, like you said, around here, what he did in terms of, I think, bringing the franchise to a new level in terms of just, you know, the way it was perceived around the league, and then what he did on the ice for 3 years, yeah, I would think he would get on here.
Robbie, what about you?
Be a low seed, but he'd be on.
Low seed, wow.
Well, I mean,
how low are we talking, Joe? 10 seed?
He's going to be a double-figure seed.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure of that.
Robbie?
3 years.
I would have him on the bracket for sure. I mean, the part of this discussion, since we have like a deeper field, so you're talking 64 teams here. You know, Joe, we're having the Hall of Fame discussion last week where it was just 25. So that you could add more people to our list that we're putting together. Like, we just had somebody text in and say Paul Kariya. Like, I wouldn't put Paul Kariya on the Nashville Sports Hall of Fame list because he was here for 2 years. Would I put him on this bracket? Probably so. Like, he would be a very low C for me, but he was here for 2 years. He had 85 points. Like, he set a franchise record for points. He was the first superstar player to ever come here. Like, yeah, under this scenario, I'd probably have Paul Kariya, you know, in this bracket and PK Subban.
Yeah. No, I mean, and also, like, with Kariya, and it's kind of like Subban, like, that's a big moment in itself to get him, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that also should be a factor. It should be considered. I mean, it was a step, you know, for this franchise to get a guy like that. And then if he performed. Okay, what about, like, Peter Forsberg? He, you know, obviously, you're talking about a guy who was great before. Didn't do a lot here, but that was also, like, one of those, oh, Peter Forsberg, really? Right? I mean, it was big at the time, I would think, for him to come here.
It was, but at the end of the day, he was only here for like 2 months, and then that was it.
Okay,
and
go ahead.
He was hurt, so.
All right, I got a big one for you.
Okay.
Ryan Suter.
Oh, man.
Ryan Suter, you got to get him on there.
I think you do. I think he's
he
got to be on
be
there.
He can be booed while on the bracket, but he's got to be on the bracket.
We'll continue this discussion on the other side of the break. Who belongs on our bracket? You got 64. A player list here. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens today at 1 o'clock when this is released. We'll continue this discussion next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad and Marquise Munson. Marquise, with a nice shout-out to the man Joe Diffie right down right there. Rest in peace. Just some really tough news yesterday with the passing of Joe Diffie. And,
rest in peace. Real quick, you know, he lived real close to us. His daughter goes to the same school as my daughter, and we know some people who were close to him were really hard hit, and that happened fast, but that's really sad. Rest in peace.
So we were talking in the last segment about the bracket we're coming out with today at ESPN 102.5 The Game, basically a 64-person bracket going through the best sports athletes in Nashville over the last 30 years. And we've mentioned, you know, Pecorine and McNair and Eddie Jones players. We were discussing Ryan Suter as we went to break. Munson's got a couple he wants to toss at us. Munson, let's hear it. I'm ready to swat these down.
All right, so we basically got the legend Steve McNair on the list, and that's an obvious no-brainer. But there's obviously been other quarterbacks outside of McNair. So I'm going to ask you guys this. How many Titans quarterbacks, or which Titans quarterbacks, do you see making this bracket?
Oh, man. That's a great question, because would I be surprised if, like, Marcus Mariota is on the list? No. I mean, he did win a playoff game. He was a second overall pick. But also, like, I view it, like, you look at it, he was a second overall pick that didn't get to his next contract. So, like, does he really belong on a list like this? Like, I don't know, Joe. I think there's a couple of different ways you can take it. Like, does Vince Young get on the list from what he was able to do early on in his career and how electric he was? Obviously, neither one of those guys worked out here in Nashville, but the talent and how high they were selected in the draft, I mean, that's certainly got to be a part of the discussion.
I mean, Mariota's easily on the list, in my opinion. I mean,
I don't know. Easily?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Look, the
Why?
Titans.
Why? He was a bust.
Well, you can call him a bust. The Titans were complete garbage before he got here. He took them to a new level. He took them to the playoffs. He won a playoff game. No, he didn't get to his second deal, but we're talking about 64 people on this list over 30 years. I mean, I think when you go through 64 names, I don't see how Mariota wouldn't be on here. And I think Vince Young has a decent chance. Rookie of the year and had some really good moments, flamed out quickly on him. But I would think that Vince Young would have a chance. I think Mariota's a gimme. I mean, not a high seed, but I wouldn't think Mariota would be any lower than like a 12 seed, something like that.
Okay. What about in 13 games, a Ryan Tannehill sneaks in like a late seed team?
Ew.
Like a 16-15 seed, maybe.
That's tough, man. I mean, he did technically win two playoff games, so he's won more playoff games than Mariota. It was an unbelievable run. Yeah, maybe as a again, it, like, I
had
to
be really low.
I haven't done the legwork here to get to like 60 names, you know. I mean, and that's the thing. And I know Ryan Porth has done that legwork, so it's hard for me because I know there are some names that I'm forgetting. And so maybe they start stacking up and it's like there's no way. But I guess I could see, because of his performance being such high level, even though it was a very short period of time, is maybe sneaking in. That'd be a dangerous 16 seed, you know?
I will say, okay, so another Titans question for you fellas. Now, we know Eddie George, Steve McNair, I think they are a lock for the one seed. That's a no-brainer. So who's the next highest Titan seeded on this bracket, you think? Is Derrick Henry also the no-brainer on this point?
Well, it's got to be like Bruce Matthews, right? I mean, that's right? Bruce Matthews got to be like
Javon Curse, Keith Bullock. I would probably put Keith Bullock as the next highest seed Titan. That's just my opinion.
Derrick Mason.
He's around for so long. Derrick Mason.
Derrick Mason's got to be, I think, pretty high. I would think Frank Wycheck would have to be pretty high. Matthews, you mentioned Keith Bullock, Blaine Bishop. I mean, what you know, where does Chris Johnson register? I mean, he it didn't work out eventually, but my gosh, the guy ran for 2,000 yards in a season. I mean, Chris Johnson has got to be a pretty prominent seed in this, I would think.
What about Kevin Byard, though? I mean, Mayor of Murfreesboro, Titans. I mean, he's probably one of the best Titans on that defensive side of the football. So what about him? I mean, he could be a high seed, maybe a five, maybe a four seed in one of these brackets.
That's an interesting one. That high, I don't know. I would think maybe more like a six or seven.
Well, I'm just tying both in because obviously he's done the college and the pros in the same city.
That's
so
a good point.
I mean,
right.
I mean, does that play into a part of how the committee looks at it, where they seed Kevin Byard?
That probably bumps him up a seed line or two, right? Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, Jarrell Casey's on here too, in a prominent spot, right?
Delanie Walker. Yep. I mean, Delanie Walker's got to be up there.
Yes.
Like everybody we've just talked about, I would put ahead of Marcus Mariota.
Okay.
All right. So real quick.
That's fine. So, I'm just saying he's on the list.
So real quick before we end the show, I'm going to ask you guys this. So we mentioned Pecorine, and he's kind of a possible lock for the one seed. So who's the next highest pred? Is that Roman Yossi? Is it Shea Weber?
I'm sure. I think
Robbie's
already
said Weber for
it.
Now.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's Shea Weber for now. Roman Yossi is creeping up. I think we're having this discussion.
It's too early
two,
for Roman Yossi
now.
Right now.
It's too early. I think we're having this discussion 2 or 3 years from now. Roman Yossi will surpass Shea Weber. I really do.
And I think, tell me if I'm wrong, but I think Forsberg, Arvidsson, Johansson are all on it.
Yeah.
I think Ekholm's on it somewhere. Here's another one for you guys on the Titans front. Oh, we got to wrap it up. All right, we'll get more into this. We'll get more into this.
Absolutely. We had a text in on the text line that says Tannehill to Dayton for the play-in game. So maybe he'll survive the play-in game. And nice.
That's usually a 12 seed, so we'll see.
Yeah, usually is a 12 seed. Going to be interesting to see what this list is made up. You can hear again Darren Dodick and Chase at 1 o'clock today. They'll be announcing the entire bracket, so looking forward to that. That's going to do it for us today here on Morning Drive. Joe, thanks as always for joining me. See you tomorrow.
Thanks, sir. See you then.
Absolutely. We'll be back at 6 a.m. That'll be Morning Drive tomorrow morning. Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexrode. Darren Dodick and Chase coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.